can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I am doing pretty well. It's been a little bit of a busy Tuesday. And, but, you know, so far so good. Very productive, I guess. I don't know. I got a lot done at work that needed to get done.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's been not a bad day for me. How about yourself, Jay?
Well, I haven't had a bad day, but I've had a very busy one.
Say that one
That's
more time?
That's for sure. I said I haven't had a bad day, but I've had a busy one.
Yes.
It was a little chaotic today at work, and yeah, but not bad. I still enjoy this job, so that works.
I mean, hey, listen, as long as you're liking your job, man. I'm liking my job as well. We just happened to have a couple things that popped up today that needed doing, and wasn't a bad thing. I just, you know, it kept me from goofing off all day, which, you know, that's kind of upsetting to me.
That's kind of my MO.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping for. But anyway, so yeah, it's not been a bad day here. It's just been, you know,
a little busy. Yesterday was pretty busy. And... Oh,
clunky, clunky.
Yeah, sorry. I was just putting my butter in there so it can melt. Which, speaking of, what are you making?
So I am meal prepping a little bit for breakfast.
Ooh.
And so I'm going to make, I'm making turkey sausage breakfast burritos.
Ooh.
I've noticed that every morning, like now I'm getting up later. I don't understand what's up with my body because I wake up at 7 now compared to 5.
Right.
And
which is significantly better.
Yeah. Actually, I normally wake up at like 6 something because my body is just like, what are we doing sleeping so late?
Yeah, I get that.
But then like I get up and I walk the dog and I shower. And then sometimes I go to the coffee shop in my building, go get some coffee. And then I kind of linger around and I go to work. Or sometimes I just go to work early because I'm cool.
Is that what makes you cool?
That's exactly what makes me cool.
Gosh, but I should have known in high school I was doing it all wrong. No wonder nobody liked
regardless,
me.
I'm starving now by the time I get to work.
Yeah, I have to have breakfast at this point, especially now that I'm in a gym routine. Like, I've got to have breakfast.
Oh, you know
or
what?
A workout routine, that. I guess I should specify.
I am changing up my workout routine to adding more and doing a little bit more. And so that could explain that now that you say that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yep, working out will do it. For me, it makes me very hungry. And I know it does for a lot of people. So, you know, it's just, I get to the point where I'm like, I can't just not eat.
I would say about the first month or two, I would just like eat all the time. I was always starving. And then I think my body adjusted to it because now I don't have that issue.
Like, I'm sure it'll calm down for me at some point, but as of right now,
it's just, I've definitely noticed in the mornings, I'm like, and so, like, we have all these snacks at work, and, like, I know they're provided, we can use them to our whatever we want, but I also don't want to just be this guy that's, like, eating $50 in snacks a day at my job, just, like, abusing the system. So I'm like, okay, you need to curb this a little bit.
I mean, it's a little bit different, especially when you work for a company that, like, you actually like people there and you feel like the company gives a shit about you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. My last job, I would have been like, every snack, every day, all the time. Because I was so worn out on it. I was like, you owe me everything.
Verizon had this, like, latte machine on our floor. And, oh my God, I was at that thing every fucking day. I'm like, I'm not going to buy my coffee when I can use this thing. I don't give a shit. It's you provide this here, I'm going to use it as much as I fucking want. You've used me as much as you fucking want. Now I'm going to use this as much as I fucking want.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. We have an espresso machine at the office. So I do use that because every morning I usually start my day with an espresso mixed with, a caramel premier protein shake.
Yes. I like those things. I wish they were cheaper.
Oh my God. So true. Now, okay. This is where I'm spoiled. That is now provided to me.
Ooh, you bitch.
I am not trying to brag, but that is one of the biggest blessings.
Yeah. No, I don't feel like it's brag. I mean, you know, that's awesome. My company is very, I think they still think that certain things are big perks when they're not.
Oh.
Like, like, I'm just glad that I've got creamer provided. Like, they've got in our break room downstairs, they provide sugar for your coffee. They don't have any non-sugar sweeteners provided.
Oh. Did they provide, like, powder creamer, or did they go liquid?
They actually have the good liquid creamers, like the coffee.
No way.
Yeah, so, like, it's this weird dissonance between, I can't get Splenda, but I can get this really nice creamer. And so now I don't bring my own creamer to work. I just, you know, use theirs.
That's a solid win, though.
Hey, listen, I like it because creamer is expensive. As creamer is concerned, considering how much of it I use. Because I drink a really creamy coffee. I drink a really creamy coffee. Mm.
Well, and creamer is expensive. And my last job, all you got there was the basic, like, knockoff corporate brand of sugar in the little container. And then
I know exactly which one you're talking about, too.
The powder creamer. And that's like all you got. Now, they did provide a Keurig machine. You had to bring your own Keurig cups. And what else did they provide? It was like little protein bars, like peanut bars. That's about it. I think that's all they did, which they used to do more. Oil fell, then they decided to save money, and their method of saving money never, like, when oil goes up, it never returned.
Right. That's how it works. So,
which on my exit interview.
Save money. And then,
which on my exit interview, I wrote that. I was like, you guys are always asking to save money, even when oil goes up. And then I'm like, and then, like, none of the perks ever come back. So we're just always looking to cut costs. And it just, it's real annoying.
It's not even just annoying. It's very much like a shit in your face. It really does say, like, hey, we can't, if we could do less, we would.
Well, yeah. And then, like, I would see we would have all these investment things and they'd be like, our company's growing, blah, blah, blah. And every year I'd still lose a tiny bit of money on that because they'd be like, well, you know, in comparison, though, to the markets and all, I'm like, I think that's bullshit.
It's bullshit. I hate that, too, because you just know someone somewhere was trying to, like, prep this message all day long to make sure that it was delivered properly.
And it would just, oh God, it would, I ate it up too for years. I like drank the Kool-Aid and was like, excuses. Same. And then, well, then I went through cancer and I was like, what? Whoa. Let's not bullshit me here for a minute.
Yeah, seriously. Well, and that's where, like, that's where I started finally like getting to my end of my like rope with Verizon, was how fucking bad my mental health was. And the fact that anytime I tried to like take any time back for myself, they just wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
And I know that it wasn't just the company. I mean, I know it was direct effects of like my boss and her boss and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you know,
they represent the company still.
Yeah, exactly. And I know exactly how that company is. It's like that nationwide. There's a whole reason why our stores were trying to unionize, even though like that company has incredible benefits and pay and people are still trying to unionize. It's not because they're being treated well.
Yeah. Yeah, happy people don't unionize.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you were comfortable with it.
It's kind of like that other thing I say where I'm like, happy people don't criticize and bully other people because they don't feel like they have to compensate for what they're lacking.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's just, yeah. And sorry, I got to looking at my phone because I was trying to remember what we were texting each other about earlier today.
Oh,
like,
we were definitely
something we wanted to talk about.
We were texting each other about our ability to rebel against ourselves when we try and force ourselves to do things that are difficult.
Yes, that's it. Okay, now I remember. Because
I vividly remember this discussion.
I was like, you know, I'm finding myself having to do that a lot more often lately, and I'm starting to realize that, like, quitting Verizon and that was unhealthy for me, so I definitely never regret that, but quitting that for me was also like myself rebelling against like myself in its own way. But I mean, honestly, yeah, it was me trying to like get out of a bad relationship, because let's be real, your relationship with your work is a relationship.
Yep.
But anyways, I've been noticing myself needing to do that a lot more recently, or maybe it's just at this age. I don't really know, but like, I noticed that I have to fight myself to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that, but I also am starting to sort of accept that, like, I need to, the things that I want to accomplish, like writing and you know, finishing this like certification program with Google and doing extra things at work, those types of things are things that I am going to have to fight through anxiety to do. And
Oh, no,
you're fine. Go ahead.
The interesting part that I discovered was, if there's anything that, yes, I'm unsure exactly of what to do or the result, or there's a lot going on with it, what it would kind of do is make me panic, and the expectation that I had to make a result, even if it was just for me, nobody else was a part of it, the expectation would pressure me too much. And I struggle a lot when somebody tells me what to do and doesn't let me use my own knowledge or skill and things like that, because I feel like I'm being a child because you can't trust me. And so it kind of like somehow relays in my brain that even when I'm just telling myself to do stuff, that I don't trust myself in a way to finish it. And so I easily sabotage myself just to do chores around the house, because I'm like, no, you can't fucking make me do them, even though I know I need to do them.
Well, that's me with writing. Writing is the worst of it, I think, at this point in my life, where like it gives me anxiety thinking about it. And it's, I don't really know exactly if it's exactly what you're talking about, but it feels very much like that.
Well, you're still putting pressure on yourself in a sense. You're like, I have to do this. And you're like, it's almost kind of like there's no bad result if you don't do it, but you've still just, okay, here's how I'll take this. When you're telling yourself to do something, are you kind of putting this, you have to do this or else situation in a sense?
That's how my brain functions with everything.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying. I don't know if it goes back to like, I'm constantly afraid of failure, which like breeds an action, because I, in my mind, I guess, you know, I'm just like anybody else. Like, if I don't do it, then I can't fail at it.
Yeah.
People won't see that I'm a fraud. They won't see that I'm like that I'm just bad at everything.
Let me ask it this way. When you are talking in your head about that, do you feel like it is all you in there going, you have to do this, blah, blah, blah? Or do you feel like maybe your mom or something like that is part of it from how it was when you were a kid?
It's exactly what you just said. It's definitely not my voice, but it is the insecurities that were sort of, I guess, not beaten into me, because I wasn't abused. It's not like that.
Right.
But
it was the concept that they set expectations on you, and if you didn't complete them, you would be in trouble.
There are, it's that and the fact that, like, I will never forget, there was a time that I asked to do some sort of activity in school, and I think it was probably basketball, because I did it for all of like a year. And I'll never forget, because I didn't like it. And so I asked to quit, that I did. I was telling my mom that I didn't want to do it anymore because I didn't enjoy it, because I never felt like, I felt like I was tall and that was useful, but I wasn't necessarily good at the game, but nobody was taking the time to like help me get good at the game. It was like, if you're not already good at it, then you're just going to, you know, sit on the bench and you can come to practice, but nobody's really going to give you any like tips or help. And it was during a time in my life where like I was definitely not popular to the degree that like, I don't think most people, not necessarily didn't like me, but I think like you have a kid in your class who was always like getting A's on everything, who was like the teacher's pet, like always like smart and answering questions and shit.
Oh, I was a teacher's pet, but I didn't answer questions.
That was me. I was the guy who's always able to like raise his hand and be like, yes, this is the answer. This is the answer. And so turns out that is not very endearing to children.
Weird.
Even you yourself are a child.
So I don't know if that was impactful on how like my peers and, you know, classmates thought of me, but I wanted to quit playing basketball, and I remember my mom distinctly being like, you quit everything that you start. And I was a kid, so like, so, I hadn't really started that much.
Anthony, I need you to know this is why we started the podcast, because you and I have so many similarities.
God, it was, but it stuck with me. Like, even now.
It did. Same. You can't quit. People don't like quitters, blah, 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 blah. But yeah. What was so weird was they're telling this when you're like 8. And I was like, all right. So 8-year-olds have nearly no developed brain to be making these clear decisions about what they want to do and what they don't want to do. And things look great until you actually. Amen. And I just, it is funny how that, okay, that exact thing, same thing happened to me on my 7th grade year with basketball. I kind of wanted to quit in the middle because I was like, this is not me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I got told, my favorite part was I got told don't be a quitter, but my parents never showed up to games because I wasn't good at it, so they didn't care. And they always like chalked it up to how busy they were and how their schedules didn't align. And I was like, that's weird. You're always home when I get home. But anyways, I digress. But
but so, anyways, I digest.
This doesn't relate exactly to this rebellion thing. Well, it may, and I just don't see it at the moment. But there was also one time where we were on an away game. And this was before I had a cell phone, all that jazz. And I told them I'd be home at this specific time. And I wasn't home at that specific time because the game ended late and we got stopped by a train. And I got there and my parents weren't there. So we had to get the keys to go into the school so I could call them. And they were like, you weren't there when you said you would be. So we came home.
You're a child. Oh my God.
And so they told me that I can find a way to get home. And I was so embarrassed because I was like, I'm so sorry, I have to ask. And so I think one of the coaches ended up driving me there. Jesus. When really, like, I was embarrassed that they were going to be mad at me, when now as an adult, I'd be like, if they're mad at me, that's the worst adult ever, because clearly you should be mad at my parents.
Yeah, seriously. They probably were, honestly.
And if they weren't, yeah, I don't really know. I don't remember anything beyond that, but I remember just being like, why'd you guys do that? And they told me that I have to be more responsible. I could have borrowed somebody's cell phone to call them.
Oh, that is.
And so things like that have designed me as this person where I have to do all this stuff, because if I disappoint anyone in any way, they're going to basically do something of a similar thing to like that to me.
That is so wild.
And the older I get and the more I look back on that, I'm like, God, what assholes.
What assholes? Seriously. Yeah, I, Jesus. Okay, well, my parents didn't come to my games, but, like, they never did that to me. Holy crap. Well, it was also crazy because, like, later on, I found all these really, like, all these things that I really enjoyed. And even if I couldn't find it, there were spaces that I sort of created for myself. Like, we didn't have drama or any of that or theater in our school because we are a town of 500 people. I had a graduating class of 29. Yeah. Also that. Well, we also didn't have football, which I thought for sure would be something we did have. But yeah, we didn't. But anyway, so like, I thought for sure that those types of things we would have. But anyway, so I had to like create a drama club because I wanted to do drama, and I had to like get a sponsor, and I had to, you know, find people to would be in the club with me. And so, I mean, I got all of that shit together so that we could do that because I always wanted to do it and our school was never going to provide it.
And so it's things like that. The
entomology team for FFA. FFA has entomology as part of its, but it's one of the contests you can do in FFA is entomology. And it's all about classifications, defining what type of bugs have which, like, you know, mouth parts, defining like what they eat and things like that. And our FFA chapter had been so very much, and you can do three things. You could do livestock judging, which is cattle, pigs, and sheep. Or you could do dairy cattle judging, which is just dairy cattle. Or if you're a female, you could do horticulture. And those were the three programs. They had. And it was crazy because like the horticulture team was all female, and it was almost like our advisor was basically like, if you're a female, this is what you do. And if you're not, then you can do these other things. And if you're a female and you don't want to do horticulture, you could do dairy cattle judging, but livestock judging is for the man.
But we're not going to respect you.
But luckily we got a new advisor right as I started getting into FFA. And he let me start an entomology team. And he was like, basically like, as long as I could get the people together to like make a team, that I could do it. And so, yeah, I did. And we did pretty well. We went to state like at least 2 years.
Well, that's cool.
I know, right? So anyways, it's little things like that that I always had to do. And it's funny because like now as an adult, I can give myself credit for those things. But like as a kid, I was just always, even as like a teenager, I was always like, okay, but you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. And yep. I still feel that way as an adult. Like, I'm never doing enough, even though I'm always doing 100 things.
I was like, why do you think I do so much? It's still embedded in me that I don't ever do enough. And that if I'm not doing something, then obviously I'm being lazy, which is why I have 2 podcasts, a side gig, a main job. And then I, like, have to stay social with my friends. And
mm-hmm.
And it's just these obligations I've set on myself for no real reason.
Yeah.
But it also, I would say that also, this one I've kind of corrected. So as a kid, I was also told a lot how much time I waste trying to be lazy. And what it is, was I worked very hard. Like, they would tell me to go do something. And I put a lot of effort in to find more efficient, better ways to do it.
Right. As one should.
And so what they were doing was criticizing me for always trying to find a way out of doing things. And then I wanted to be lazy.
You lazy.
And I was like, no, I just find no reason in doing it the way you want me to when there's easier ways or better ways. And so, like, as I get older, I'm like, I wonder if I could have been an inventor. But I was literally sabotaged because I thought I was being lazy.
Well, that was also something that, you know, in
a rural town gets sort of beaten out of you at a young age is trying to be like, trying to think outside the box and trying to be artistic.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I just trying to have... wonder, like, what my life could be like if I had supportive adults in it at a young age. And I was able to sort of like identify my passions and hobbies earlier than my, you know, late 20s, early 30s.
Well, and I had an obvious talent of vocal and instrumental. And so everyone was just like, oh, obvious music.
Right.
Nobody really put the effort in to explore my other skills. Nope. We knew I was kind of good at writing, but it was always told to me, of course, by the people I admired most at the time, that writing is going to get me nowhere.
Yeah, you don't want to do that because it's, you know, it's a nowhere thing,
which pisses me off because I hate that adults are like that. I understand what you're trying to do.
You're trying to not get somebody's hopes up so that they don't get disappointed. You know what's more disappointing? Finding out that all of the adults in your life have no faith in you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that...
Because that right there, that shit.
And what's
you can
so
do anything except this list of things that I've carefully curated that I personally don't think you can do.
I think they have faith in me, but they have faith in me as long as I'm doing things that make sense to them, which unfortunately is limited.
Well,
so I know they have faith, but if it's anything beyond that, they're just like, oh, well, you're going to fail because we don't trust that option.
Well, and because we don't think we could do it.
And
it's not a, yeah.
Oof. It's kind of one of those things where as I got older, I was like, wait. Why do I depend on your opinion for anything?
Yep.
I mean, I guess I'll go down this path. My stepdad is, for years, he owned his own company as a commercial plumber. The recession hit, he couldn't get work, so then he ended up for years now working at Home Depot as a, he's a plumbing specialist, something to them. I don't know. It's, I guess, decent pay. He survives. But as I'm older, I'm like, you know, if you had any, like, kind of brains on this, if you were business savvy anyway, you would have converted that plumbing business to not just like you running it. You would have ran a full-blown company because you had the skill and the ability to do that, where you could have softened the blow of a recession because plumbing is still necessary. But you opted to limit yourself to one way, and that hurt you. And then on top of that, I told him, oh my God, and this offended him so much. I told him, I said, well, protect yourself, you know, be prepared. Home Depot could let you go at any time. You're getting older and they're going to find a way to sabotage you. They've done it to people before. And he goes, they would never do that. I'm a good employee. And I was like, okay.
That does not mean any goddamn thing.
I was like, that means nothing in today's world. And
that is so funny.
To this day, he still is just like, I'm absolutely safe because I'm a good employee. And I was like, you tell yourself whatever you want. That you can be a wonderful employee. That doesn't matter.
So, fun fact, whenever I was the general manager of our Awesome store in Oklahoma Verizon, I was the highest producing, highest grossing GM. I added more lines. I added more net revenue to the company than any other store in our district for like 2.5 years straight. I didn't find out until years later that I was also the lowest commissioned employee.
Yeah.
I was the best employee, but I was the lowest paid.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Because
that's why companies always support not talking about your salary.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because like, and I was at the time I was so bought in that I didn't do that. And now I'm just like, wow, I really should have, because I could have asked for more. Or if I got told no, then I could have already been burnt out a lot faster than it got me earlier.
Yeah.
Could have cut that. Yeah, 100%. Could have cut that tie a lot earlier than I needed to or wanted to originally did.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, that's so fucking meaningless.
Also,
I understand the concept that people have around it, but it's just not realistic.
Yeah. God, I don't know. The older I get, the more disappointed I get in the world. I get why they say more intelligent people are depressed.
It's that self-awareness, and I hate it. I hate it so much, because there are times that, like, even without being involved with the news and social media right now, and like not being connected to a lot of things, it still finds its way to my doorstep, and it's still just, there are times it just gets me.
Yeah. 100%. I suffer the same thing a lot. I'm just like, wait a minute. I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and then on top of that, you do see the news and you go, oh, fuck me. Also, I forgot to set a timer, but we just hit the 30-minute mark.
Yeah, I know. I saw. I was about to give us a wrap and say, hey, we'll see you next week. So, hey, it's time to wrap and we'll see you next week.
Yay! To continue our meal.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists @gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.